Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
You see, when you begin to take Bible study very seriously, it's a sign that you take your spiritual growth very seriously. Very seriously. Not many people read their Bible. Even those who come Sunday, some don't even have a Bible. Isn't that amazing? And you have clothes to wear, but you don't have a Bible. It's a very serious issue. Everything, every plan that God has for you is in the Word. Every challenge you go through in life, the solution to every challenge is in the Word of God. It's not in running around, but we like to run around. The human nature is such that we always want to look outward for solution. That's why people look up to uncles. In Psalm 146 and verse 3, the psalmist said, "Put not your trust in princes, in whom there is no help." Don't put your trust in princes. We read the New Living Translation. Can we have that, please? Up there, quick. Instead of looking into the Word of God, many times we are looking to people. We are looking to family members. Psalm 146 and verse 3. Looks like they are not there yet. But I'd like to have the NLT. Yeah. So don't put your confidence in powerful people. Powerful. The Bible recognizes that to some extent they have power. It could be political power, maybe even spiritual power, maybe financial power, maybe social power. But the Bible says, regardless of the kind of power they have, don't put your confidence in them. He said, there is no help for you there. Let's do like David, who said, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth." And one of the places where God has packaged your help is in His Word. It's in the Word of God you will learn and know and study and understand the nature and character of God. I discovered by the help of the Holy Spirit that God is good from the Bible. Not from a preaching I heard, from the Word. There are lots of discoveries for us to make. And let me tell you, with every discovery that the Holy Spirit helps you to make from the Word of God, you graduate in the realm of the Spirit to the next level. Because we rise by revelation. We going to the next level is never by sentiment with God. Ah, she got born again like 25 years ago. She should have gone to the next level now. Angel Gabriel, let's promote her. No, never. A person may be born again for 25 years, 50 years, and they remain on the same spot. We go up by revelation. Are you with me? That's how we graduate. In 1 Peter 2:2, he said, "Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby." That is how to grow. When you are growing, it shows you are changing levels. You've left the realm of diapers. None of you will ever use diapers again in Jesus' name. Because that would mean that there's a medical condition and then you cannot use the toilet by yourself. You've left that realm. It doesn't feature in our family budget anymore. There was a time it was a big deal. Huggies. Man, I spent a lot of money on those things, especially the imported ones. You see these people? I treated them very specially as babies. I wanted imported. I don't want to look out. Imported. Because they will have rashes. It will give them rashes. But we have left that level. If a child remains at the level for 10 years of using diapers, there's a problem. In fact, for 5 years, that's a problem. The same thing happens in the realm of the Spirit. There are people who are born again, who are reading, marking their chronological calendar of when they gave their life to Christ, but they are not growing. And let me tell you something. And please note this, everybody. Listen very carefully. Don't marry a man or a woman that is not growing spiritually. You know why? Answer is very simple. They will give you problems. Because when the Holy Spirit is giving you instructions on the next thing to do, that's the first person that will oppose it. But if you are growing together in grace, as the Holy Spirit is telling you, your partner can almost pick the signal. That is when synergy will come. When two people combine together, science tells us they have the energy of three. They can pull the weight that three people will pull. When they combine two horses together on the farm, they have the energy of three. It's called synergy. So if two of you shall agree on earth, Matthew 18:19, as regards anything, Jesus said, no cap, anything. He said, it might be done. Come and talk to me, church. Even the devil can't stop it. You just agree. Just agree. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall have, it shall be done for them of my Father that is in heaven. So when people ask me, Pastor, you know, young people like us that are in a relationship, you are saying we shouldn't have sex. Yes, there will be urge to have sex. If you don't have the urge, something is wrong with you. There will be the urge. You have the guy has testosterone, the lady has estrogen, you have all the hormones running in your blood. This is what to use your energy for. If you use it for collabo on the bed, you will bring unwarranted pregnancy, unwanted pregnancy, and you are going to be in trouble. And it's going to compound your trouble because that pregnancy will change the course of your life. It will alter your plans and programs. And it will bring a lot of disgrace because it's coming at the time when you are not prepared, your parents are not prepared, your friends are not prepared, your church is not prepared. So what do we do? Channel that energy into praying. Channel that energy into the study of the word. Channel that energy into dreaming big and putting it before the Lord and getting promises to cover it. Jesus gave us a blank ticket. If two of you shall agree on earth, the time of courtship is the time to sit down and say, how much do we want to be earning when we get married in a month? You can agree. Now, I'm working with the government. You are doing business. Let's agree on your business. How much you'll be coming in? Can we agree that every month you'll be making 500,000 as profit? That looks too much. No, it's not too much. Let's get into the word of God. And when you get into the word gets into you. You renew your mind. You renew your thinking. Come. If God is giving me 500K every month, does that put the account of heaven into red? No, it doesn't. Does it deplete the account of heaven? If God is giving me 1 million profit every month in my business, yes. Am I too small to have that? You see, your thinking is going to be upgraded by the word. It takes illumination from the word of God to upgrade your thinking. How much do you think it cost God, Matthew chapter 6 from verse 25, to feed the birds of the air, the fowls of the air, daily? Have you ever thought about the population of the birds of the air? Man, the day the Holy Spirit showed me that scripture, it changed my perspective about finances. It lifted financial pressure off me. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 25. Let's look at it. And then we're talking about how to be led by the Spirit of God. This is also how to be led by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God will lead you as you spend time in the Word. It will show you the places to go regarding every condition of your life. So that it can help you recondition your life. And the number one place God will recondition is your thinking. Your thinking. You see, this concupiscibility, it needs help. This is the limit. This is the limit. If I tell some of you now, do you know in the business you are doing, the your trade in whatever, you can be making $10,000 every month. Also, to achieve that level, I will need to have about 10 million followers on IG. You see your own thinking. Does God not have 1,001 ways of giving you ideas that can bring that to you on a monthly basis? For your information, some people end that weekly. For your information, if you know what some people end, that's a daily pay. Legit, not illegal. Legit. So if some end that, why can I not? Why not a child of God? The highest paid, I think robotics engineer also, is a Nigerian. Somebody put that on the internet. I saw it on social media. The highest paid in the world. I think he has a Yoruba name also. The limit is here. What will damage the limit is the word of God. And we all need some damage to the limits in this place. See this place I'm touching? Sometimes I knock, I give myself a knock. See? Think the way God wants you to think. Because until we operate at that frequency, we won't be able to receive what he wants to give us. As it is coming, you repel it. So the only way is to get into the word daily, daily. This is where you wash your brain. There is no agent, no soap that can wash your brain like the word of God. We all need a brain wash. Why? Because there is a lot of unbelief here. Do you believe God can remove a growth from your body without going through surgery? Ah, Master, let me go and do surgery. It is where. I know God can do everything. Mental ascent. We can start from that point. But by the time you get into the word and the word gets into you, it will wash your brain. You will come to a point where you can believe God for anything in your health. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We need our minds renewed by the word. That was where I stopped last week. I want to take it off from there now. Because you see, if you are not growing, Paul said something in Galatians chapter 2. How to be led by the Spirit of God. And in verse 2, he said, and I went up by revelation. Verse 1 is, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Verse 2, and I went up by revelation. We always go up by revelation. Whatever God reveals to you changes your level if you walk in the light of that revelation. Some people have caught the revelation that they can never, never, ever be broke. Some have caught the revelation they can never be sick. Some have caught the revelation they can never be stranded. Some have caught the revelation they can never be defeated by Satan. And you can catch it. The moment you catch it, you start operating at that level. So when Satan brings his opposition and wants to challenge, because he will come and challenge your revelation, you stand your ground. You pray in the Holy Ghost. You go with the authority of the word that you already have. The authority of the word that you know. And you shall know the truth. And the truth that you know shall make, not set, make you free. Amen. Jesus said that in John 8:32. So we travel in the realm of the Spirit by revelation. By revelation. I didn't say John 14:17. I said John 8:32. Glory to God. Anyway, so I didn't say 3:32. Glory be to God. I know what I said. I have the mind of Christ. Amen. Anyway, let's move on. So, tonight, I want to quickly pick it up from where I stopped last week. We were talking about your mind, the soul. We're talking about the spirit and then the body. That is it me? Or is it the Holy Spirit? Or is it my flesh? John 8:32 that I quoted said, and ye shall know the truth. And what will the truth do? It will make, not that it will just set you free for a short season, make you free. You are free for life if you keep walking in the knowledge of that truth. In the previous verse, he said, the preceding verse, he said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. There is a place for continuation. You don't read your Bible once in a week, twice in a week. You continue daily. If ye continue in my word, then shall ye be my disciples indeed. Then it will lead you to the next verse. And ye, and is a conjunction. Because you are coming from continuation, you will hit a gusher in the realm of the spirit, in the word of God, that you will know the truth. You see, when you genasco the truth, when you know the truth, nobody can take it from you. I'm a man. I know I'm a man. There is no confused gay man in the world that can confuse me of my sexuality. Even Satan is master, can confuse me. You know, your truth is relative. Maybe you might just be female. Maybe you wanted to come as a female. Maybe at some point what are you talking? You want to get a slap? I mean, you know who you are, don't you? Now, take that to the realm of the spirit. Do you know who you are in the realm of the spirit? Do you know you are kings and priests? And you shall reign on earth. So when Satan comes and wants to be giving you order, have you ever seen anybody ordering a king, a monarch? And when you have the knowledge of who you are in Christ, you don't also joke with your prayer life, because Jesus himself never did. In Luke 18 and verse 1, he spoke a parable unto the people to this end. What? To what end? That men always ought to pray. Mako briasto frimasto. Always, he said. Always to pray and not to faint. Always. You are walking, you are praying. You don't have to shout every time. You are designing on your computer. Brakoste flimahale. Araste pendeste vahande. So when you are not eating and you are not sleeping, you should be praying. Can we follow the words of Jesus? A man of God said to his congregation, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost and don't stop. Pray nonstop. Keep praying. Keep praying every time. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, let me see the kidnapper that will pick you. Now, if it does happen that they stop you on the way and they pick you, they want to kidnap you, keep praying. Now, you don't start praying at the point when, you see, that's the problem with Christians. We start praying at the point of problem. We are supposed to live a life that is prayed up. Did you hear what I said? Prayed up. So you had started praying from home before you got to the park. You are not depending on the prayer of one man on the bus that is not even born again, that has no relationship with Jesus. You got to challenge. You are going to Lagos. And one man would normally say on the bus, shall we pray? He might have just finished taking alcohol. Or some of these commercial pastors who say that they are evangelizing at bus stops and parks, if they evangelize and they just preach the gospel, it would be nice. But they always raise an offering. And it's bad. It's bad PR for our gospel. Because our God is not poor. Yes, you can go to the park. We can go to the park and take our megaphone and whatever and preach Jesus and pray for the sick. Not to raise an offering from the people. If you want to support our ministry. So the aim is the money. It's not the gospel. So even what they say they are saying, they don't understand the gospel. Will you now depend your life on such a person to come and pray? So you are prayed up. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are prayed up from home. Spent your time alone with Jesus. You've spent your time on the way to the park. Now you're on the bus or in the car. In the Holy Ghost, you're still praying. Your spirit man keeps praying. Your mouth is moving. You're not making noise. You're praying. You're connecting with God. Maybe you're reading a book or reading your Bible. You're still praying. So it happened that I think about 2 weeks after the man of God said that declaration in his church, two of his members were kidnapped. You know, the devil always likes to attack the church and attack what we say because we want to test what you know. They happened to be ladies. They remember what their father had taught them. They had been praying all the way, and then they were in the car with the kidnappers who hijacked them on the way, put them in a different vehicle, and they were praying. They told them to shut up. They kept praying because the man had told them in his church, when they ask you to shut up, keep praying. Don't keep quiet. Even if they stick a gun in your head, keep praying. Because what? Do we realize that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, our spirit man inhabits, becomes an accommodation for the Holy Spirit, wall to wall. Let me see that man that will shoot you and the Holy Ghost together. Some people will believe this, some people will, I've already that level. Well, grace and mercy. These ladies kept praying.
They told them to shut up.
They kept praying. They kept praying. Now, praying in the Holy Ghost, you don't know where it will land. The bazooka you are shooting, you don't know where it will land. That's the beauty of praying in the Holy Ghost. If you pray a lot in the understanding, your prayer life will be limited. You are limited to what you know. You see, you'll be telling God, this is the solution, this is the solution. God, do it for me like this. Meanwhile, the solution is here. Guess what happened? On the way, two tires got burst in the vehicle of the kidnappers. Two of their tires got burst at the same time. Yeah. Who burst the tires? Have you ever read in Exodus how that the angels came down and were removing tires from the wheels of Pharaoh's army? Because Pharaoh and his army were going to catch up with the children of Israel after they had let them go, Exodus 14. And using chariots, meanwhile, these ones were walking on the, they were walking barefooted, they would have caught up with them. So the same God that brings supernatural acceleration, according to 1 Kings 18:46, according to John 6:16, the same God also brings deceleration. So don't mess up with God. He knows how to accelerate. He knows how to decelerate. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? Angels came down and began to remove the wheels from the chariots of Pharaoh. They were removing the wheels. The Bible says when the Egyptians saw that this must be a supernatural thing, they said, look, the God of the Jews, the God of the Hebrews is fighting for them. Oh, glory be to God. My media is very born again. Exodus 14:25, isn't it? And took off now. Give me the verse 24. Let's see verse 24. Verse 24, before we talk about took off. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians with a look. He didn't fire a bullet. He didn't shoot an arrow. He just looked. Do you realize, according to Numbers 6:23, that the prayer that God commanded Moses to command Aaron to pray for the people, called the priestly blessing, which we take at the end of every service, contains that the Lord will lift you up by the light of his countenance? Do you realize then that the same countenance that lifts some troubles some? You don't mess with God. As he's a merciful and gracious father, he's also a consuming fire. He's the lion and the lamb. The lamb, quiet, gentle. When they were beating him and pushing him as a lamb to the shearer, to the slaughter, he reviled not back. Jesus, talking about our head of the church. But he's coming back. He's not coming back as the sheep led to the slaughter anymore. Coming back as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen? It combines both. That's why, please, let's not play with sin. Don't say it's an era of grace. Don't play don't play iple-kuple. To play with sin is to play iple-kuple. It's gambling with one's destiny. Don't say, don't take God to one extreme. You know, he's the God of grace and mercy. Yes, he is. But the throne on which he's sitting, according to Psalm 89 verse 14, stands on two legs. One leg is justice. The other one is righteousness. So you must be in righteousness and you must do justice. That's why it's dangerous when two believers have an argument and they say, let God judge between us. God will judge righteously. Even if it's the person that said it that is wrong, he will collect. Because God is a just God. So be careful. Don't throw statements around. Some people say, hey, I know the Holy Spirit told me that. Are you sure the Holy Spirit told you? Or it occurred to me that I should do that thing. I really wouldn't know. That's what I'm addressing tonight. Is it me? Is it the Holy Spirit? Or is it just my flesh? Go back to my Exodus, please. Let me just thank you for that, media. Exodus 14. Now, and when the Lord looked, his look troubled them. Angels went straight. They went down straight. And what were they doing? They took off. They removed. There is no assassin in this world. They send to you, that will make it. Always believe that in my spirit. The day I saw the scripture, imagine they are sending assassins from Benin. Say they are coming to Ibadan to come and kill somebody. That's the way cultists operate many times. Say they send the hitman and his squad from maybe Uniben. Come and hit somebody in Ibadan. My friend, angels will take off their tires. Huh? The vehicle will turn some assault. The one person that will survive so that he can go back to tell them, oh boy, don't send us there again. In fact, the other people didn't make it. So that he can repent and become born again. If angels did it then, they can do it now. Are you getting what I'm saying? Took off their chariot wheels that they drave them. That's King James English. They drave them heavily. Drave. Now, drave is not English anymore. You know that? It is drive, drove, driven. Abi? KJV said they drive, and they really drive. Because when driving, when your tires have been removed, you are driving now. They drive them. You know what it means? Heavily. They tried to go. They couldn't move anymore. Then they borrowed themselves. So that the Egyptians said, nobody preached to them. He came to them by revelation. What did they say? They said, let us flee. In other words, let's go back from the face of Israel. Why? For the Lord Yahweh fighteth for them against us. God is fighting us. Let's go back. Their God is fighting us. Who told them? May God fight your battles. It is sweet, oh. So I always tell the young men around me, Pastor, I need that. Calm down. Let God fight. The same people that sit down, that conspire against you, say all manner of nasty, crazy things about you, they will eat their word one by one. One of them will survive to come and meet you and say, Pastor, please forgive us. We have sinned against you. Brother, forgive us. Sister, please forgive us. You know how God deals with people. May you not be on the wrong side of God. When the two tires got burst, the kidnappers got down and they were trying, they bent, they were trying to fix the thing. These ladies were still speaking in tongues. Then they had in their spirit, get down now. They got down, crossed the road. The kidnappers were still fixing the tires. As they crossed the road, one vehicle was coming. They flagged them down. The guy stopped, picked the two of them. They escaped. The kidnappers were still fixing tires. That's what the Holy Ghost deliverance can do. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray. Kato priya, duska baya. That's your job. Men ought how often? How can you be coming to church? You want to come and lead praise worship? You have not prayed 1 hour. You want to come and act drama? You have not prayed 1 hour. When I was in my training in YMTS, one of the things we learned from Baba, you are coming to lead 15 minutes prayer. You have prayed at least 1 hour. You pray to come and lead prayer. Are you getting what I'm saying? My Saturday nights are very short. They are the shortest in the whole week. Some nights also I have very short nights. Very short, but my Saturday into Sunday, because I can't afford to sleep like a log of wood. There is work to be done. The new day started last night. I can't come to church and depend on the 10 minutes prayer. Oh, preste bala halaba, let's pray. God, you will show up today. No, I can't depend on that one for what God is going to do in the service. There was a night I prayed from 11 p.m. till the following morning. 11 p.m. I slept 1 hour on the couch. The sleep came at about 3 a.m. I slept maybe about 30 minutes, 1 hour. I woke up again. I continued. And in that service, I saw a difference. Papa Paul Ginodu, our grandfather, that's the father of our father in the Lord. He said he didn't go to church one day. This was back in England. He's still living in England. He just decided someone should preach. He stayed at home. And for 6 hours, he was praying the Holy Ghost for the service. He said after the service that day, calls started coming in from his church in England and from other churches, some of their branches, New Covenant Church. Ah, daddy, we saw miracles today. Ah, daddy, we saw something. He said he was laughing. We do it once in a while. What if we do it regularly? What if prayer becomes our lifestyle, especially praying in the Holy Ghost? You will never beg anybody for anything. Things will come to you. The Holy Ghost will draw help to your, towards your side. He will give somebody a knock on their conquerability to remember you and say, send my daughter that thing. Send my son that thing. They will send it. They won't know why they sent it. Have you seen somebody give you something before? I hate you, but take it. Take this 1 million. Let me rest. You say, thank you very much. I don't like you, but you are the one to do the job. I don't know why I'm giving you the job, but do it. Go. I know you make not less than 2.5 million profit there, but don't take it. Get out. He said, thank you very much. Strange things. So, glory be to God. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Hebrews 5:7 gives us an idea of how Jesus prayed. See, when, from my own personal devotion, when I'm able to pray, like I really want to pray and pray and pray well, Jagbajantis always leaves me. They leave me. All the Jagbajantis, they leave me in my body, in my mind, all kind of toxic thoughts, troubling thoughts. Some thoughts are troubling. One thought and you can't sleep. What's the source of insomnia? Thought. A thought is a thought. One thought will keep you awake. Sometimes you can't even figure it out. Say, why am I not able to sleep? Somebody was telling me, I think this was on my birthday. Somebody was telling me, someone older than me. She said she couldn't sleep overnight. I said, what? She was now begging God. How long with your agent there soon there? I said, I've been there before. I know that thing. Just one troubling thought. My friend, lock yourself in with God. Don't do this nonsensical prayer. You are praying, you are pressing your phone. You drop the phone. You put it on flight mode. You face the wall. You say, Jesus, you are here. So I want to talk to you. You face him alone. And then you begin to, from your inside. By the time you get up from that place, you are refreshed, you are energized, you are charged. If it's now the sleep that you need, go and kneel. This is what I do. I kneel every night beside my bed. Father, I thank you for today. What a wonderful day. I bless your name. Now, it's not a long prayer. I hit my bed now, and I'm going to have a sound sleep. Nights when I'm going to have a very short night, because I've walked up until maybe 2 a.m., I tell the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I'm waking up at 6 a.m. It's going to be a very short one, but please make it restful for me. I've never regretted it once. I told some people I mentor in America, they did the same thing. They said, be afraid, the thing is working. What he says to one, he says to all. The same Holy Ghost. God does not have, it's not because I'm Pastor Fred. Remember, he loves everybody the same way. In fact, he loves us the way he loves Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? Do I need to show you that scripture? I've shown you before now. John 17. You want me to show you again now? Okay. And verse 24. John 17, verse 24. Father, in fact, take it for verse 23 first. Verse 23. He said, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. Who are the them? We. It's talking about us. As thou hast loved me. Did Jesus lie here? Is it that God loves us the way he loves Jesus, or Jesus just told a lie? Can Jesus tell a lie? So do you believe that God loves you the same way he loves Jesus? Thou hast loved them. He was praying for the Father to give us revelation of the love. Because we need revelation, not just head knowledge. It has to be revealed to your heart that God loves me the way he loves Jesus. Nobody can waste my life. It's impossible. You can't. Because God loves me. You go into that competition to win because God loves me. In verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me when? Before the foundation of the world. If the same way the Father loves him, the Father loves us, the Father loved him before the foundation of the world, when did the Father start loving us? Before the foundation of the world. Before your dad and mom ever came together to produce a child. God didn't start loving you the day you fasted for 3 days and you read your Bible for 10 hours. Oh, I feel the love of God today. Oh, I've been fasting for the past 3 days. I've not even taken water. Glory be to Jesus. Now, that's putting the love on your effort. He doesn't need that to love you. Whether you fast or not, he loves you. Can I have an amen? If you fast, it's good. You spend time in the Word, it's good. It's for your benefit. As per his love, can I tell you something? The love can neither increase nor decrease. He loves you, period. I feel God loves me more today. Why? I've been praying since last night. Like Pastor Fred said, he prayed from 11 p.m. to the next morning. Me too, I pray. In fact, I backtrack my own to 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. 9 to 9. Man, I feel good. Yeah, you can feel good, but you don't feel loved more. And there is no mess that you get yourself into that will reduce the love. Oh, that's why some people call it reckless love. But I love to call it perfect love. It's just so perfect. And so when you fall out of the way, you can run back into the Father's arms. Our gospel should not be the gospel of condemnation. It should be the gospel of reconciliation. That, hey, come the way you are to Jesus. He loves you. People need to know on the streets that he loves them. They don't know. They see him as some kind of judgmental God, and he's also very temperamental. Never know when he's going to get angry. When is the road hungry? People have come up with all kinds of philosophies that make God seem very wicked, with a long rod in his hand waiting for you to mess up. He can whip your ass. That's why when something bad happens to somebody, say, God has caught him. Was God chasing him before? Can God chase anybody before he gets us? All he needs to do is to squeeze his hand. You are gone. The whole world is like a dot, a drop in the bucket. Everything is in the palm of his hands. All he has to do to collapse the whole world is, all of you, Shebi, you are very stupid. And then he will create another world. You just see that people are going on the way. Their head will just disappear. Some people is from the tummy. They will collapse like this. But God doesn't do such things. Isn't this a good God that we have? If God were like some of us, or we happen to have the power of God, some Nigerian politicians, they are all over the place now disturbing the peace of Ibadan because they want to do election by Saturday. And when they are talking and they are doing their manifesto, what they will not do, they will never do it, they will say they will do it. If I were God, as you lie like that, I remove your tongue. I won't kill you. Don't remove the tongue. Yeah. Blood will flow everywhere. People will know, oh, Baroni, all of you are one. Don't remove the tongue. That's all. That's all. How it will eat, we shall see. Is it me? Is it my flesh? Is it the Holy Spirit? Let's conclude that part. Let's go to 1 John 3. Oh, before we go there, let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. I read verse 1 last week. I'm going to read verses 1 to 3 now. These guys were, Paul described them as baby Christians or carnal Christians. So carnal Christians are also baby Christians. It doesn't mean that they just gave their lives to Christ. It just means that they didn't grow. You will see that in this episode. Paul said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now, when he said babes, it doesn't mean sisters. No, babes. He was referring to babies. Babia in Christ. You know what a baby will do? Like I said last week, a baby will pick anything on the floor, put it in the mouth. A carnal Christian, every song, you chop it, even though it's not spiritual. When you are growing spiritually, you will judge certain songs. That song is good up until this point, but from this point, this is not for spiritual people. This is not for mature people. In your presence, anything goes. Not anything goes. And if you really know God, even the clothes that the priest wore under the old covenant, he gave them a specification, and it has to be for glory and for beauty. If you bring that to the new, you'll find that God has not changed the standard. When did he change? He used to care. No, God doesn't care what we wear. God doesn't really care. He doesn't bother. He's not bothered about what we wear, but he used to be bothered about it. Well, not bothered, but he used to care. When did he change? I see preachers today with ragged jeans. Torn jeans. What do you call it? Ripped. We used to call it crazy. They changed the name from crazy in the 80s, 90s to ripped to make it nicer. I was going to buy a pair of jeans for myself in England. This was November 2021. I went to one of the stores. It took me almost 30 minutes to figure out something to buy for myself. Almost all the jeans there, ripped. I said, no, I'm not going to wear that. God delivered me from holes in my pants. I'm not going back to holes in my pants again. God delivered me from that. Because when we're much younger, we wore it until it tore, and we continue to wear it. And after a while, you turn it to shorts. Oh, man, does anybody know what I'm talking about? You use scissors, and usually one length will be longer than the other. Oh, God, have mercy. And today, I even see guys buy T-shirts ripped, like it's torn. Are you normal? Are you okay? He said, I'm speaking unto carnal. I speak unto you as unto carnal. What does it mean by being carnal? Being carnal means being body ruled. You are not ruled by your spirit. You are ruled by your body. Everything. Okay, so one house now. Listen, everybody. I've given you a topic for discussion. Discuss that on Twitter after Bible study. On X, yes. Engage one another. Engage your friends. Push out those content. Yes, I've given you something. I mean, somebody would like to contribute to that. But listen first, so that you can get a balanced teaching. So you can help the people. We have a lot of people, millions on X. They don't know Jesus. Some of them hate church. They hate God. They've had negative experiences about Jesus. But does that change who Jesus is? Is he still good? So we need to keep telling them he is good. Okay? Jesus is still good. I was in a place on my birthday. I went to get some things. And I heard some men in uniform, a particular, setting. And three of them were talking to one another. And they convinced one another that marriage was a scam. One of them was one that said it. He proposed the idea, and the others bought into it. He said, yeah, it's true. My wife, your wife, marriage is a scam. I said, okay. Satan is working on their conformity. But we have time to argue with them. I was eating my pounded yam. I said, okay. The Lord bless you. Later, I saw an elderly man who was now trying to put them together. Women are the same. You have to find a way to manage them. I said, okay. Because you won't go to church. Why won't you call marriage a scam? Marriage is a scam, but you have children. And you didn't bring them from your family's house. You didn't pluck them from the tree. And you are happy you have children. And you say, the system that produced wonderful children like this, for you, is a scam. You see how people do? They are babes. Carnal. Body ruled. Now, he said, I have fed you with milk, verse 2, and not with meat. For hitherto, you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. These people did not grow over time. When he brought the gospel to them, he said, I fed you with milk, not with meat. Why? Because at that time, you were not able to bear it. That's understandable. As babies, you don't give them muscle. You don't give them eba. You don't give them hard food, strong meat. You will kill the baby. You will suffocate the baby. You give them milk. He said, but he now said something. He said, neither yet now are ye still able. In other words, they are still babies like they were maybe 20 years ago. He said, so I can't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Body ruled. You are body ruled. Verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. Look at Paul the Apostle. He was being very direct. Pastor, don't be talking like that. When people are carnal, they won't come to church again, no. There are churches around, though, looking for them as well. The whole church can be carnal. From the pastor to the congregation. And there are some of them. Very carnal. They are body rule. Body rule. What do you say to a pastor who is sleeping with two church members together at the same time, together on the same bed? They know each other like this. He was sleeping with one before. That one now invited a friend to church. Pastor's eye. Sorry. So on a fine babe. Started with that one. So the former now found out that something was now going on between pastor and the friend she invited to church. And then a fight broke up between the two of them. The two of them, illegit. Wife, somewhere, and children. So when the two of them fought, Allah Akbar got to know that they were fighting. All the two of them say, what's your problem? What's your problem? Are we not doing it together? Are we not? Yes. Let's say, I'm not a hypocrite. You know the kind of person I am. I am not a hypocrite. I say my things in the open. So I said to you, in fact, we can try new things. Let's go on an adventure. Yes. 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 Insider. I'm giving you insider information. And he was fellowshipping with the two of them together. There's a name for it. There's a name for it in the world. You don't know that every good thing that God creates, Satan creates a concocted version of it. He is the author of corruption. He wants to corrupt every good thing that God has created. Is that not a carnal pastor? Is that not a carnal church? Head of ushering, head of choir, married women in the church, Revo, and go revo. How was suit? How consult back? The word of God. My friend, will you keep quiet? Which word of God are you talking about? Do you know that God? Do you know that God? In some churches like this, when they take head count of what has transpired between the pulpit and the pew, I am telling you, It's all right. There was one, somebody told me, who escaped as a former victim, escaped, and told me that they conducted pregnancy tests for church workers. Workers. Not church members, workers. Who are supposed to be inner, cori-cori people. The spiritual people. The workforce of the church. Pregnancy test, positive, 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 among church workers. Some churches are carnal from the GO to the security man at the gate. In fact, let me tell you one. The one I was telling you before, that the collaboration, there's a collaboration of fellowship. One time he appointed a resident pastor because he was not around. He had one babe. So when resident pastor came, resident pastor continued with the babe. So when he came back, there was a fight between the general overseer and the resident pastor because of one sister. What some people have turned church into? Just business. Just business. A place to make money, brainwash the people negatively, and then have girls to sleep with. Because they believe that women have problems. Because women always throw themselves as if they have problems. Like they are carrying the problem of the world. My husband is not. He's just a foolish man. He's a foolish man? Wow. Why is he a foolish man? And then he will give you small money. Married women. Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you, daddy. And that is, you need to come for special prayer. And she will go. This man slept with an underage girl in his church. I think the girl was about 16. When the thing came out, because he didn't settle the girl. So the girl opened up to somebody in the church. To somebody, you know, nothing, there is nothing hidden in the Bible that shall not be revealed. The boyfriend was also in the church. So the boyfriend got to know. He now brought thugs that they will beat their pastor. Fuji House of Commotion. When eventually some elders of the church heard, they summoned the pastor and said, "Pastor, Reverend, how can you be doing something like this in the church of God?" He said, They say, "You rape somebody." He said, He stopped coming to church. He was living in the hotel. He knew that Kasala would bust, so he was staying in his hotel and was asking the resident pastor to continue with the service. So they called him on the phone. He would not pick. So they now compelled the resident pastor to call him. At least he would pick the call of the resident pastor. So as he picked it, they took over the conversation. They said, "You raped our daughter." He said, no, I did not rape her. Look at the most stupid thing he said. He said, "We slept with each other." And these are men laying hands on people. And people are calling them my father in the Lord. You see, listen to me. Listen. Enough of the comedy. Listen. There is too much carnality in the body of Christ today, especially in Nigeria. Churches are springing up. People are moving en masse to some places, but they are never growing. Growing does not happen by being a member of a happening church. Growing happens by feeding. If your parents didn't feed you, you would have starved to death. When they gave birth to you, 1 month, they say, "Fast! What's your problem? Are you not a baby coming from heaven? Fast for 1 month!" That baby can't survive 3 days. Have you seen war-torn countries of the world? When Somalia used to be war-torn, they will show children in Somalia on TV and you will cry. You will see their ribs out. You will see their limbs very thin and tiny. They had big tummy, kwashioko. And you could count the bones. Why? Malnourishment. And when they continue like that, they die. You don't need to shoot gun to kill a country. Take away their food. In Samaria, it got so bad, a woman and another agreed, "Let's boil your son tonight to eat. Tomorrow we boil my son." And she agreed. May starvation never get to that point in Nigeria in the name of Jesus. That children now became target for their parents. Carnality. happens when people refuse to grow. And when you're a carnal person, carnal Christian, you can never tell when the Holy Spirit is leading you, whether it's the Holy Spirit or it is you or your flesh. You don't, because you have not grown to know him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you, number one, envying. So anywhere you see envying, that is an evidence of carnality. Why should you envy another person in church? They just bought a nice car. You cannot sleep. Is that not a problem? They just bought a dress. Ah. You know, sometimes, you see, carnal people wish that you remain on the same spot. That you don't grow. Because they are not growing spiritually. So if you begin to grow, it becomes a problem to them. Even if that is the pastor of the church, he's a carnal pastor. You know that some pastors are like that? They are envious of their members. God, I'm praying for these people. I'm the one praying for them. They are making progress. Where is my own? Every week, I'm dedicating new cars. New car, even though I know it's Tokumbo, but at least it's something. How about me? That's the carnal pastor. Is body ruled. Envy. Some men envy their wives. Some wives envy their husband. I say, are you normal? That people love your husband, they favor your husband, or they love your wife, they send gifts, they do all of that, and you are envious. Are you a normal human being? Have the two of you not been joined together as one? That whatever belongs to him already belongs to you? I'm telling you, people get into competition. Wife will say, Shebi, you have your own car. That's your car. Me too, I'll buy my own car. I will show you. I'll buy my car. My Jeep will be bigger than your Jeep. In the marriage. In church, people envy. Even when I had nothing. But having found Christ, I don't know what anybody can have in this world. I stand before God, I lie not. I don't know what anybody can have in this world that would make me envy them. There's a young man that I know who is more like, is a friend to me, kind of friend. Lives in Lagos, a lawyer. Very successful. He drives a G-Wagon van. Among other cars. I'm a year or two older than him. I've never gone to his DM to say, Ross Alpha. Is a person that can give me 5 million at a go. If I say, oh boy, I need 5 million right now. Never in my life. Never will. And I'm happy for him. His wife always wants me to be at their family function. One time they said they wanted to take me to Ikene in Auguste. I said, you need time. I'm sorry. It was a busy time for me. How many people do you want to envy? You won't last. Because God is lifting people around you every day. Lifting people everywhere, every day. Get on the internet. There are billionaires in their 20s. Ah! OJ, that I was one that served drinks. I served drink at his name. OJ has bought a car. Ah, Jesus. OJ, you buy a car. All of you buy cars, nice ones. If you see the joy in me when members of this church make progress, when I hear God has done something, God has promoted someone. If you see my joy, I do not understand how a pastor can be envying his church members. I can't wrap my mind around it. Covetousness. People also covet. You covet someone else's wife. A pastor can be coveting the wife of a church member. A church member can be coveting the wife of the pastor. Carnality of the highest order. Ah, may God help us. On top of Tokumbo car, some people will not let you rest. They will wish that you die. But you won't die. In their lifetime, God will give you brand new cars. Paul said, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife. Strife is a blessing blocker. Genesis 13, there was a problem between the headsmen of Abraham and the headsmen of Lot. Get that scripture for me. And Abraham made this statement. He called Lot. He said, let there be no strife between me and thee, for we be brethren. We be brethren. Somebody say that. Say, we be brethren. The first person that spoke pidgin was Father Abraham. He said, for we be brethren. Get it out for me. He said, let there be no strife between us. Let there be no strife between us. Why? You get it in Genesis 13. This 14 was when all the kings came against Lot, came against Sodom and Gomorrah, and they carried them away, and Abraham went to fight. It was before the fight. Yes. God bless you. You got it now. Genesis 13 verse 8. And Abraham said unto Lot, he said, let there be no what? Let there be no strife. Because where there is strife, there is all manner of evil work. The easiest way for Satan to destroy a church, for Satan to destroy a family, is for you to be getting into strife every time. Nobody likes this one. Is it because he knows how to play drum? He can't even drum. He can't drum more than me. He competition by to reform. Let there be no strife. Abraham said, I pray thee. You know what that means? I beg you. Why? Because Father Abraham understood the power of strife. Strife is a blessing blocker. Blessing is coming. Strife will stand at the door and say, we don't need you. Go, go. We are not ready. Go. Let husband and wife be fighting every time. That's what will be happening. Every time you don't see face to face, you don't see eye to eye. Every time, fight. Like that. And some people that don't even, they are not half as talented as you are. But because there is love in their home, blessing enters. Because blessing lies where there is peace. Go and check where there is peace, you see prosperity. They start with P and P. So Abraham warned Lot, Oga, he said, let there be no strife between, I pray thee, between me and thee. You see, those headsmen, let them be fighting, but between me and you. In fact, he now extended it and said, I'm between my headmen and your headmen. So go and warn them. Go and warn them. Why? He said, for we be. Come on, say it now. Tell your neighbor, say, we be brethren. That sounds like brotherhood. We be brethren. We be brethren. We be brethren. We be brethren. We be. Come on, say it now. Say we be brethren. We be brethren. We be brethren. In the occult, if you come against one person, the entire court will come against you, because they be brethren. Because they be brethren. We are better. We are not in the court. We are in Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? We be brethren. There is blood between us. That's the meaning. The word brethren is an old word for brothers. They were brothers. Lot was the nephew of Father Abraham. He was the brother of Abraham that gave birth to Lot. So, Abraham was a big uncle to Lot. But Lot was very stupid. I close tonight. 7 o'clock already. One more scripture. I will teach more on these works of the flesh, all this envy thing and all of that in days to come. Because I want you guys to get it right. Are you with me? There's a scripture I'm looking for in 1 Peter. It talks about we are partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. That's where I want to end it tonight. It's in 1 Peter, I don't know whether it's chapter 3, chapter 4. Please get it out for me, media. Thank you. Aha, you've got it. Oh, it's 2 Peter. It's 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says, whereby, oh, media, you know I love you guys. The Lord bless you guys for me in Jesus' name. You see, they are growing. Don't say they Googled it. They search on Google. They are growing. They are growing. They got it. They are growing. We have a social media team now, very powerful. They are growing spiritually. If you see content, you know, even me, I read mail, I say, yeah, a mail like this. There's one they did a few days ago, like maybe cartoon, looks like cartoon. They have a name for it. And it was about Bible study last week. I appreciate what you have in this church. Oh. I appreciate all of you people. You are working well, and God will honor you. The honor that comes from God will be your portion. There is a honor that comes from God. Watch out for that message. There is a honor that comes from God. I will preach a whole series on it. And you will be honored. In the mighty name of Jesus. Honor is a powerful thing. Honor is a white people can honor you. They don't understand why. Because there's a honor that comes from God. Now look at this. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. My interest in that scripture is the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. See, in the natural, we are partakers of the carnal, natural nature of our parents. You are tall, you are not too tall, you are fair, you are dark skinned, you are on the big side, you are on the slim side. No matter the food some people eat, they will remain, their tummy will be flat. Let them eat a mountain of apple, their tummy will be flat. Some of us, we drink small water like this, we are big. Don't blame us, it's in the gene. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Now we got all of that, the texture of your hair, the color of your hair, from your parents. Your parents got it from their parents. You see, that's partaking of the carnal or natural nature. Permit me to say that. Having been born again in the spirit, guess what? We are partakers of God's divine nature. But we need to feed that nature. And the food for that nature is the word of God. What am I saying? Get into the word daily. Feed your divine nature. Being led by the Holy Spirit will be like knife through butter. Your spirit man is in union with the Holy Spirit. So, when something occurs to you, this is how I close tonight. You say, well, I don't know whether it is me or the Holy Spirit. If your me is the flesh, wrong, error. The flesh will lead you into error every time. Lead you to do what you're not supposed to do. But if what you mean by me is your spirit, if that thing is coming from your spirit, follow it. Follow your spirit. Because your spirit is in union, look at me, is in union with the Holy Spirit. You are a partaker of the divine nature. So if you are someone that normally feeds on the word of God, you don't need to have problem to pray. You pray as a lifestyle. Huh? You pray in the Holy Ghost. And prosperity does not make you stop praying. Huh? Neither does poverty make you pray more. You are a partaker. You are training your spirit. You can trust your spirit. Because your spirit is in union with the Holy Spirit. I close tonight with a practical example. This is how I close. I must have shared this before, but let me share it again for the benefit of those who are hearing for the first time. Papa Paul Ginodu turned 80 some 4 years ago, thereabouts. And that year, he was coming to Nigeria. So our father in the Lord, Pastor Alex Adeboye, made the announcement on a platform that some of us ministers belong to, that he was coming to Nigeria and he wanted to host him in church. Because we had a group then, we were praying for revival. We called that group Joyful Intercessors. So, and Baba Ginodu has been teaching and preaching on revival for some time. He's a guru. In fact, he has books. If you go to the bookshop, go and get his books. I'm also going to get them on revival. So, we wanted to have a master class with him. It was his 80th birthday. And he was coming to Nigeria because some people in the New Covenant Church in Nigeria wanted to host just 100 people to celebrate him at Golden Tulip. Everything classy, posh, tush, everything. Not crowd, no crowd. And I made it, man. I made it. I'm not a member of that church. I made it. I'll tell you how. So this is the story. Now, so the day he was coming to meet with us to talk about revival, I quickly traveled to Lagos for some business. On my way to Ibadan, I started thinking about him. And I remembered, that's the father in the Lord of my father in the Lord. He's turning 80. The man is a ministry gift. When a ministry gift is among you, treat him as one. No? Don't just treat him like an ordinary man. No? So a ministry gift is turning 80. Let me find a way to give him a gift on my own. So when I got to challenge, then the battle started in my mind. What do you have? You want to give the general overseer of New Covenant Church worldwide a gift? What exactly do you have? So my flesh said, just don't worry, Jerry. What do you have? You don't have anything. So I got to Mokola roundabout. I took a taxi from Challenge to Mokola. When I got to Mokola roundabout, that thought wouldn't let me go. But in my now I know I can tell you it was my spirit. In my spirit, it was the right thing to do. Like it was my birthday a couple of days ago, and some of you put money together and got me an iPhone. May the Lord honor you all in the name of Jesus. Some of you were not part of it. But some have also delivered other kind of gifts. It's a good practice. You see, I didn't ask for it. I didn't beg for it. But you just thought, Pastor, it's just a good way to think. Like, you should also bless your parents. It's a good way. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. I got to Mokola roundabout. One part of me says, you don't have anything. So I thought about my account. I had 50,000 naira there, my naira account. But in the same first bank, I have a dollar account and I have a pounds account. So I crossed the road. I crossed to Mokola police station side. I was coming to church. This was about 4 p.m. That meeting was slated for 5. A few minutes to 4. This was like a quarter to 4. Then, as I got to the front of police station, coming to church, the thought came to me. I said, in your pounds account, you still have a little, over 100 pounds. Withdraw 100 pounds and give it to the man. 100 pounds is small. 100 pounds. In England, it's not too small. At least, even if it's to buy train ticket or to move around. 100 pounds is not small in England. In Nigeria, it's small. So I crossed the road. I crossed back. I went to that first bank. I entered the place. The lady in charge of the Forex, God rest her soul. I told her, you have to process this thing for me. In fact, she happened to be a member of New Covenant Church before she went to heaven. So in few minutes, in fact, the bank closed. I was inside the bank when they closed. I collected the 100 pounds, put it in my envelope. I came to church. I got to church around 4:30. Meeting was slated for 5. I went to my former office. I sat down there. And I was thinking, Lord, is it you leading me? Or is it me? Is it my aproko? Because sometimes my ashiju can be too much. So is it me? Am I trying to warm my way into the... God knows I'm not... Till today, I don't have his phone number. Even my father in the law said he would give me his phone number. I didn't ask him. I didn't remind him. Till today. Till tonight. So, I was struggling. I'm telling you the struggles that we go through sometimes. So I said, Holy Spirit, I'm not sure whether it is you leading me or I'm the one trying to do this thing. But I do know that is a good thing to be a blessing to your servant. Abi, he said yes now. So I packaged it in an envelope. Because I was not too sure, I have my sermon note then. Big, very big sermon note. I put it inside. I went to see Baba in his office. I quickly wrote a note. They told him I wanted to see him. He said I should come in. So when I got in, I said, Baba, I know you are wondering why I'm here. He said, I'm wondering now because we have a meeting at 5 and the man will soon be here. I said, Benny, sir. I said, that's what brought me, sir. He said, hey. He was writing some. He said, okay, sit down. So I sat down. I said, Baba, I don't know whether it's me or the Holy Ghost. Your father in the Lord, you told us he's 80. He's turning 80 this month. He said, yes. You said he's coming to now. You believe that's what we are preparing for the meeting. I said, Baba, I just thought that it might not be a bad idea for me to give him a gift, a little gift, since he's your father in the Lord. Because if my own father, you, my father, you are celebrating birthday, I will give you a gift. He said, yes, 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 that's. I said, so, Baba, I managed to gather 100 pounds. I'm not giving him. Please help me give him. I know you have a gift for him. Help me add this to your gift. Those were my words. I wasn't looking for connection, popularity, anything. I did it in secret. The reason I'm sharing it with you tonight is because by retrospect now, in retrospect, I can tell you I was led by the Holy Spirit. I wasn't sure at the beginning whether it was me or my flesh. How did I know I was led? The moment I presented the 100 pounds, Baba said, oh my God, Fred, the Holy Spirit sent you here. The Holy Spirit sent you here. He said, I planned that we would take a group photograph with him, and I completely forgot. I planned that we'll buy a cake to celebrate him. We'll take pictures with the cake, and they would decorate the table, the cake table. I forgot because I didn't tell my wife. I didn't tell my PA. It was in my mind, and I forgot. What time is it? 15 minutes to. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Get up there. Call Fresh. So I got on the phone. Hello, Daddy Fresh. Where are you? Bring camera. Bring light. Bring yourself. He said, call me my PA. I called his PA. Oh, yeah. Where are you going to get cake? He said, okay, we can get cake at Foodco. Oh, shop right. Already, there's no time to call one sister in expression house to start making cake. That was how we did an 11th hour preparation. Cake arrived. Decoration arrived. Just something to cover the table. The table. Everybody started running helter-skelter. At 5 on the dot, an SUV brought the Baba into the premises. He landed from his car. I was looking at him from upstairs. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And we had that meeting. Everything went on swimmingly well. Cake was ready. Table was decorated. We took photo. Fresh came. Everybody. We would have missed that opportunity. Baba would have remembered in the middle of the meeting. I wanted to. By that time, too late to get a cake, too late to get Fresh, too late to get everybody. Would have, that picture is still in the conference room as I speak with him. He had forgotten. But the Holy Ghost put that thought in my spirit, and by my action, he remembered. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there is always an interconnection of actions when we obey the Holy Spirit. It's like a chain reaction. And everything is working together for your good. Amen? To shock you, that night, Baba didn't remember to give him the 100 pounds. I was following Baba like this. Not to monitor anything, no, just following him because I just admired the man. I was looking at the man. Because during the meeting, I sat in front. I don't sit at the back. Such a meeting. I was looking at the man. I was admiring him and smiling. I said the Baba was noticing me. Baba can be very straight, very blunt, but sometimes he would crack jokes. Told us how we started in the ministry. He said at that time it was poor water. Water was not enough. He now said it in Yoruba. After saying it in English, Mommy see you, me or two, that this is started very poor. No money, nothing. Shared a lot about revival. So what then happened? I followed Baba. As Baba followed him to the car, Baba saw him off. Good night, sir. As Baba turned back, he saw me. Hey, Fred! The envelope I gave him was in the file he was holding. He wanted to give him. He forgot again. I said, glory be to God. You shall find a way to give him. He said, okay, no problem. Saturday night, Baba just called me. I said, Fred, tomorrow there's a celebration for Baba Jinodu for only 100 people. Imagine how big New Covenant is. Only 100 people. He said, I was able to manage to get 3 tickets. One for me, one for my wife, one for you. I also wanted to get one for your wife, but I couldn't get it. So I was only able to get 3. So on Sunday after service, you will join me in my car. I said, Mambro, see Alabahaya. Woo! Limbre se kata. I like to join that kind of convoy. He said, you will join me in my car, and we will go to the venue. My goodness, we got to the venue. It was Golden Tulip. As I entered like this, the lady that was the head of ushering, she happened to be someone that knows me from the event industry. Ah, Pastor Fred! I said, yeah, there's my father-in-law. Get us a very nice place to sit. So we got my father-in-law the seat, got my mother-in-law, didn't get me a seat. I said, don't worry, me, I'm their protocol. Later found me a seat, and We had a wonderful time with Babaji not doing the house. So after the whole event, Baba went to greet him personally. Ashe, Baba now brought the £100 along. So me, I went to do protocol, as usual, to my father and the Lord. So right in my presence, he presented it and said, this young man, that's the pastor of our youth church, was the one that said I should give you. Baba looked at me like this. If you know Baba Jinodu, Baba has his look can be very, very fantastic. He looked at me. He said, I know him. Go let him on me, sir. He was smiling at me when I came to that meeting. He sat in front. He wore a white shirt. You got me, sir. He got me. God bless you. Said amen. Just blessed us and we left. I was led by the Holy Spirit. May you be led by the Holy Spirit. See, don't always expect spectacular, big leadings. In the little everyday decisions, pray in the Holy Ghost. Listen, and I'm telling you, God will lead you to prosperity. Stand on your feet, everybody. Have you been blessed tonight? Yeah, I know I took extra time because we had to finish that. Amen. And so, Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We honor you and we praise you. Lord, these words will not depart from our heart. We will walk in the reality of this truth. And we will rise in the realm of the Spirit. Everyone struggling, your struggle is over. We will please God with our private lives. Our lives will be devoted to Jesus. His name will be glorified in our lives. Thank you, precious Father. Oh, we praise you and we honor you. Our lives will be pleasing to you, Father. And on the last day when we see Jesus, we'll win the smile on his face. And while we are here, we'll be led by the Holy Spirit. He will lead us in paths that he had created and charted for us before the foundation of the world. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion of the precious Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each and every one of us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.